Blog Talk Radio. Are you there? Wait, I'm muting myself. What am I doing here? Hello?
Can you hear me now?
No? Oh, my good God. Now I can hear you.
Okay, good.
I'm muting myself. Then I had to mute you, same as last week, I had to mute you in order to make you go live again for some reason. I don't know why it's doing that. Talk about just making it. And I'm
I think it's the NSA. I think they're doing it. They have it in for us.
I figure they're watching us TV all the time, so. Oh, my God. I made the mistake. I had to really nice tank. I don't know if you could hear that in the background. That's my dog. I had to reboot my computer, and then when I rebooted it, it decided to configure updates.
Oh, so of course. That always happens. That's happened to me before, too.
Oh, so I'm, like, literally trying to hurry up, scramble, create the show, and then, really, Tank? Go see Daddy. Sorry. So I had to do this at the most obscene time. Come on.
Of course.
Come on. And then he doesn't listen. Oh, my God. So how was your day?
Oh, it was a day. But you know what? I come to expect it, and it's nice to have a paycheck. It's nice to be part of the working class instead of the parasite class.
Right, exactly. That's true. I've been in that situation before where, like, when the economy was really, when we had the big crash, and I should have left that job probably 2 years before, but there was no way I was leaving, given the economy, for mortal fear of being laid off somewhere else.
Exactly. So, you know, you do what you got to do.
This is true. This is very true. Well, at least, what you said, it was really hot where you are, right? Well, it's snowing here, so.
Yeah.
I'm going to send you some snow.
We broke the record today in Atlanta for the high temperature. It was 86 degrees, and my air conditioner, I guess it needs some coolant or something, because it ain't putting out crap, but, you know, it's just putting out warm air. So, it's very hot in my house, so if you want to send some of that snow, I'll gladly take it.
I will. You know, this is one of those times where it would be nice if we had our own little personal drones. I could fly over a bucket of snow for you, and maybe it would help cool you off.
Exactly. I don't want to go from, like, winter to summer and skip over spring completely, because last weekend during Easter weekend, it was cold. And now it's 86 degrees. And, of course,
we
would blame it on climate change or something.
we got gypped out of spring last year, really. It was, like, maybe a month, if that. And it's going to happen this year, too. I mean, it's freaking snowing today. I finally saw my crocuses. They're actually pushing up out of the ground because the 2 feet of snow or 4 feet that was on them finally melted enough. And now they're getting snowed on again. I mean, really?
Yeah. Yeah.
So,
well,
speaking of change, I got to bring up this first story because then we can go into the being, you know, the latest presidential candidate announcement. But when Rand Paul announced yesterday that he was running for president, he put out all kinds of things, you know, Democrats for Rand, New Hampshire for Rand, you know, all kinds of catchy phrases, whatever. Basically, stand with Rand. And Planned Parenthood looked at all those things and they didn't see one specific single thing there. And it was, so they had to tweet about it and they made a little thing, you know, pointing to it. And it said, it doesn't say women for Rand. So apparently there's no women in New Hampshire. Women aren't doctors. Women aren't lawyers. Women aren't Christians, conservatives, or Democrats, according to Planned Parenthood. All we are dollar signs for our vaginas to Planned Parenthood.
Right. You know, maybe we should go to a Rand Paul rally dressed in those vagina costumes that they like to wear.
Oh, my God. I saw that story this morning, and I was like, are you kidding me? Are they really? So not only are they degrading women, and they're just putting us to the lowest level possible that we're only worthy of our lady parts, but they're telling the whole world about it.
Yep. Maybe they should make up T-shirts that say honey holes for Rand Paul.
Oh, my God. Stop it. You're making me choke. Oh, my God. It was so bad. And apparently they got it afterwards when they got reamed for it. And,
yep.
And they made a comment. But it's too late. It's out in the Twitterverse. You spoke it. That's what you really mean, because you want to divide everyone like by gender. And by the way, none of the things, the little names that he had said men for Rand or fathers for Rand or mothers for Rand. It was all, you know, groups like Democrats, Republicans, conservatives. It wasn't by gender or by race,
right,
or anything like that.
They didn't have trannies for Rand?
They probably would have been offended by that, because trannies aren't really women, right? Remember?
Well, that's true. You know, feminists don't like for trannies to be defined as women. But I was wondering if Bruce Jenner was a Rand Paul supporter.
I don't know if he'll come out and say anything like that. He's come out enough lately.
I listen to the Kim Peterson radio show during the day. It's pretty hilarious. But he has this comedian on named Jim Gossett, who does all these different voice impersonations. He called in as Tom Brokaw, and he said, Kimmer, Bruce Jenner wants you to know that the Bush in 2016 bumper sticker on his car has nothing to do with politics.
Oh, my God. That's awesome.
Of course, I can't do a Tom Brokaw voice, but and even does it with the speech impediment and everything.
Oh, my God. That's hilarious. So what was the reaction? I mean, obviously it was big in New Hampshire. I couldn't make it to the big rally today because obviously I was working, but tons of people here, tons of people I know were at the rally. Everybody's all ginned up and excited. He's the second candidate. Excuse me to jump in the race. What are the thoughts where you are about Rand Paul jumping in the race?
Well, I've seen, down here in the South, it's been kind of you know, people are kind of like, yeah, Rand Paul's jumping in. You know, there's been some positive and some negative, and are excited to see people starting to declare. So now we have two candidates officially that have declared. And, you know, there's some things that Rand Paul does well, and then there's some things that are like deal breakers for people. And, I mean, I will say one of the things that Rand Paul did well today was when he confronted the media regarding the abortion issue and confronted Debbie Wasserman Schultz. I don't know if you saw that.
Now, what did he say? I saw part of it.
I think he was doing an interview on the Today Show this morning, and he was telling the host to stop editorializing for what his positions are. And he went on the offensive against the media, and because Rand Paul is pro-life, and so the liberals are going to attack him for that.
Of course.
So his response was, why don't you ask Debbie Wasserman Schultz, or the head of the DNC, how she feels about killing a 7-pound unborn baby.
Good for him.
Yeah. And he basically went on the offensive. And this, whether you support Rand Paul or not, that's something that all of the GOP candidates need to learn how to do, is go on the offensive and reformat the argument and reject the false premises and not just go on there and accept the questions that are given to you if you think that they're wrong or they're off base. So I think that is one thing that he does well, and I do admire him for that. I did notice, though, campaign tchotchkes that he's peddling on his website are kind of strange.
Didn't he have flip-flops or something?
it was the flip-flops, and I'm like, wait a minute. You just launched a campaign, and you're trying to, formulate the perception, because perception plays a huge role, and you're selling flip-flops and a constitution with his signature on it for $1,000, one of those pocket constitutions. I'm like, wait a minute, you should be offering that for free, and if you want to sell your signature, put it on your photo or something.
Right?
You know?
Oh, that's it. That's
so interesting. I don't know.
I actually
Go ahead.
I was going to say, I have a friend of mine who has one of those pocket constitutions that has Ron Paul's signature, and he got Rand Paul's when he was here a few months ago.
Did he have to pay $1,000 for it?
No, he didn't. Not in his case.
Well, I don't know who's in charge of that stuff, but there needs to be a meeting. A staff meeting is in order, at the very least. I mean, didn't John Kerry get hammered with flip-flops when he was running for president? And people were, like, photoshopping John Kerry's face on a flip-flop and on a waffle and stuff like this. I just don't think that you want the perception to be that he's a flip-flopper, and when you're selling flip-flop sandals on your website, that's kind of, I don't know, I just don't think that was well thought out.
Yeah, I have to agree with you on that one. People have to think, you know what, when you're thinking of this kind of stuff, and when you're working on a campaign and you come up with something, you really got to think, okay, how will we get hammered by this? What negative is going to come out of this if we actually do it? Or, you know, what comedy is going to come out of it? Because, you know, someone out there will think of some way to spin it or twist it, and you got to be two steps ahead of those people.
You know, there's, yeah, you got to have somebody who's really sharp, especially as your comms director, because they have to be way out in front ahead of everybody else.
Yeah, exactly. You know, it's funny, and, you know, Cruz and Paul are really the only two candidates, obviously, who've declared, but it's already, people are already going at it in New Hampshire. You know, there's already...
Oh, yeah.
I'm just sitting back. I mean, I'm going to continue to slam Bush and that jackass Lindsey Graham, but I'm not saying anything to me. I want to meet all the candidates. I mean, actually, I've already met Rand Paul and I've already met Ted Cruz, but I want to interview them again, whatever. I want to meet all the candidates. I want to interview all the candidates. I'm just going to sit back and let them all go at it. That's what I said earlier to someone. I said, I'm just going to sit back and lay low and let you all argue amongst yourselves because I don't want to even get involved in any of that.
Right, right. I agree. There are people that I'm leaning towards, but
yep.
I haven't fully declared my support for anybody just yet. I think it's too early, and I want to see how these people develop and how their positions develop and if they sway back and forth or if they hold true to their position. I mean, I
right,
will
exactly.
tell you that some of the people are concerned with Rand Paul's connections to Mitch McConnell and his photo op with Al Sharpton that he did a few months ago.
That one pissed me off. That one was kind of a big one for me because you and I had talked about this on the show for a lot. I've written about it. And no one in their right mind should be doing any photo ops with Al Sharpton. They should be excoriating him for
exactly.
the race-mongering piece of crap that he is. So that really turned me off. But, you know, we'll let it – he's got reasons for what he's doing, and I'm just letting it all play out before me. I want to meet all of them. I'll go to their events, whatever, except for Bush and – Christie and
yeah, and Lindsey Graham, who says, "What did he say? Well, freedom of speech is a nice idea, but we're in a war on terror here, or something like that." Like, you know,
an idiot.
You stupid soft shoe. Why don't you go back to South Carolina? Where I mean, who are these people that vote for this? Vote for these people? I don't understand that. Are you people in South Carolina that dense that you're going to put
they
somebody like that? It's just, it's beyond me. I mean, I don't get it. I don't get it.
They can't be that dense. They voted Nikki Haley in, who is fabulous. They voted Tim Scott in, who is fabulous. I don't know where or why they continue to vote Lindsey Graham in. I don't understand it.
Well, the only thing I can figure. It must be about money, you know. He's well-funded, and that puts him over the top. And it's the same thing with people in Ohio who keep voting in John Boehner.
Yeah, that's true.
And these people who vote in Mitch McConnell, who looks like a damn puppet. Like, you can't tell me that you can take somebody like that seriously. The guy can't even move his mouth when he talks.
He's like one of those old, miserable Muppet men. Remember the old Muppet men who sat up in the
yeah,
balcony
yeah.
and they would bitch and complain?
Yeah, that's right. I remember that. I am old enough to remember that show.
Even if you aren't, like Disney World has a Muppet 3D thing and the old men are up there. So even my niece and nephew know who they are. So, and they're little kids.
Or either that or McConnell looks like one of those ventriloquist dummies who should be sitting on Karl Rove's lap. Now, there's a nice visual for you.
Oh, my God.
See, Lindsey Graham really wants to sit on Karl Rove's lap, but but we won't go there.
I said the other day, I'm like, I'm already tired of it. Because I was talking to my husband, and I was like, oh, my God, all these people, like, they're already, I'm just, like I said, I'm sitting back and watching. I'm just watching. And they're arguing back, you know, people are already arguing back and forth. They're already slamming each other's candidates. And one of my friends today said, can we just, you know, post a positive about our candidates and not beat the crap out of each other and you know, see how this works or whatever, something like that. And he made a good point. It's like this causes an issue eventually because out of your two, you know, the two candidates that are opposite, only one's going to be left, right? Say?
Right.
If it's one of the good ones. So what, is the other side going to not go for your candidate because there's a little bit of a difference and you guys slammed each other? Well, that can happen. So, yeah, I'm like, it's only April? I'm like, it's only April. I have to do this for another year and a half?
Yeah. the thing about it is you don't want to tear each other to shreds so much that all you're doing is giving fuel to the Democrats.
Right, exactly. Exactly.
Stick to the
issues. It's one thing if you talk about it in private or whatever, but if you're blasting it out there and people are seeing these big arguments and these big fights, it's just not worth it. I see stuff posted all the time. I just don't even bother commenting, you know? Once in a while I make one little comment, you know, this is what I didn't like or whatever, but it's going to be a long-ass election season. That's all I can say.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, on the positive side, there's a lot to choose from on the Republican side as far as candidates or prospective candidates. I hear Marco Rubio is supposed to announce this month, too. And, of course, we all know who we're expecting, you know, to jump in, Scott Walker, Jeb Bush. Go ahead.
Two other things I was going to say. I'm writing Bush down. I meant to write something else now. Carly Fiorina has created a campaign here. Bobby Jindal hired someone here, and so did Donald Trump.
Yeah, Donald Trump. Donald Trump is like a freaking carnival sideshow act. You know.
I was supposed to go to an event he was at, and I had to miss it. But I like him because he's hilarious. Not that I would ever seriously take him as a candidate. However, a political reporter made a comment that, you know, Trump always says he's serious, he's really serious. He said, but Trump never went so far as to actually set up campaigns and whatever. They're all setting up PACs now. That's what they're doing. They're setting up PACs. And he's
right.
Like, Trump has never gone that far. Trump said talks, but he's never gone that far to set up a PAC. So, and I know some of the people that he has in it, you know, that are working for him. I know people who are working for every campaign right now. So it's kind of interesting to see all these different PACs, quote-unquote PACs, coming together all of a sudden ahead of, you know, all these different announcements. I think there's, you know, Ben Carson was just here, but I don't know if he has a PAC yet. But we're going to have this crazy huge field, and it'll get whittled down, of course, and hopefully there will be less than six total, you know what I mean, in for the long haul. But,
Yeah.
You're right,
though, we have
a lot better choices than before.
Yeah, well, the thing about Donald Trump is he's kind of unfiltered when he talks. So he'll bring up issues that the candidates may have wanted to avoid, and he'll kind of force issues, which I like. So that is one good reason for him to be in the race, just to amp it up a little bit. Force these people to take a position on something.
You know what? No, that's true. That's very true. And that's one good thing. The more candidates you have, in a way, I mean, it kind of convolutes it all and it makes it like a three-ring circus, but you have some candidates who will do that, and they will bring up issues that everybody wants to know about, but no one's bringing up. So that's a good point. That is true.
And then on the Democrat side, you have Hillary Clinton and Martin O'Malley and possibly Joe Biden.
Oh, don't leave out Bernie Sanders. Bernie Sanders still might toss his hat in the ring too.
That's true. And I've heard that Mario Cuomo might be like the dark horse candidate or something.
Oh God.
It's depressing either way you slice it to think of any of these people in the White House. But I kind of wonder what they're going to do if Hillary decides not to run, because everybody's got all their money on her right now. So
yeah.
If she decides not to run, that'll kind of shake everything up, and then you'll see people coming out of the woodwork to run, and you'll see a big push put on Pocahontas to take that spot.
Yeah, if you're right. If Hillary chooses not to run, which I doubt, because I think she's so full of herself that she doesn't give a crap that her whole entire corrupt, murderous background will come out, I think she'll still run. Because, let's face it, the media will be on her side and people are stupid. But you're right. If Hillary stepped aside, I guarantee you that crackpot, lying stack of false Native American. Oh, I'm trying to pace myself with my curse words. Elizabeth Warren, she will probably step in. She won't dare step in to fight Hillary, but she would step in if Hillary was gone. I will guarantee it.
Yeah, because, you know, then if it ended up being Jeb Bush and Elizabeth Warren, it would be an Indian versus a Hispanic.
I heard about that. I was just like, I just shake my head. When I read stories about him, I just shake my head because I frankly don't know anybody who's on his side.
No, and, you know, somebody brought up a good point today. They were like, you know, the people who support, like, Ted Cruz and Rand Paul and Scott Walker, they're actually grassroots support, real people who actually want these guys to be in the White House. But if Jeb Bush runs, where's his grassroots support going to come from? It's all going to be paid operatives running the show. They had to bus in people to see CPAC to see him speak.
Yeah, no, that, you know what's funny is I'm glad you brought that up in a way, because a lot of times you'll hear, and you probably hear it from your local GOP too, you hear, all these grassroots supporters, blah, blah, blah. No, really, what you're talking about are people who only come out during elections and are either paid or volunteer just because it's an election. That's not grassroots. Grassroots are people who fight all the time to make this country better or to stop bad things from happening or push legislation, whatever. Grassroots isn't coming out during an election to get some asshat elected. That's not grassroots support, in my opinion.
No, it's not. And if Jeb Bush runs, they'll all be Rove bots, because they'll all be paid by Karl Rove to do the bidding to get Bush elected. So they'll all be Rove bots, and, you know, there won't be any, like, true, you know, average American people actually going out and doing the work.
No,
you don't see, like, people on Facebook with a Jeb Bush logo for their profile picture like you do with Ted Cruz and Rand Paul and Scott Walker.
Nope. Nope. And that's the thing. Like, you know, when I see that, it kind of drives me crazy, because it's like these people are just going to come out because whatever R is next to the name. Whatever the establishment says to them, oh, this is our candidate, that's when they'll come out. They're not, you're right, they're not, I still don't understand why Bush is in this freaking race. You don't have regular people who are, you know, into politics, political junkies, actual activists, coming out in support of him at all.
Exactly. And if he ends up being the nominee, I don't know what I'm going to do. Because I can't see myself voting for him. I can't. I just can't. Because it might as well be. Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, I said to my husband, was it yesterday or today? Earlier today, I said, this might just be the first presidential election that I don't vote for a president. because I will not vote for Jeb Bush. Absolutely will not, without a shred of doubt, vote for Jeb Bush. Just, it's not going to happen. See, there's certain candidates I'm 100% against that I will slam and I will come out and talk smack about, and he's one of them. Not happening.
Exactly. That's the way I feel about it. I mean, he would be more suited to being Hillary's vice president on her ticket.
I'm going to be gay right now. Yeah.
Because he's more similar to her. And then you could have the, I have to say it. You could have the Cunt and Bush ticket. I'm sorry. I just had to.
Funny how you said it lower, and I'm getting closer to the phone because I know you're going to say it lower. That was awesome.
Sorry, Scott.
Well, the thing is, I already saw it in New Hampshire when Scott Brown was running. People, regular independents, not, you know, people that are into politics, thought there was not much difference or not really any difference between Scott Brown and Jean Shaheen. And that's the way they think about Bush and Clinton. They don't see that much of a difference between them. People are sick of both the Clintons and the Bushes. You should see when the local news posts stuff about Clinton or whatever, you should see all the negative remarks about her. I don't see how this woman thinks she could actually win an election. I don't see how the Democrats think she can win an election. I really don't, because even Democrats can't stand the bitch.
Yeah, even Democrats have Clinton fatigue at this point.
Yeah.
And then on the Republican side, there's Bush fatigue. So if it ends up being a Clinton versus Bush election, nobody will show up.
All I have to say is, as a former pure independent, I know how pure indies think and, you know, the news they watch and whatever. I'm telling you right now, you morons who are higher up, they will not vote for a Bush or a Clinton. They don't want anything to do with either of them, especially now. They're done. They're done. And that's not even, I don't understand how stupid these people are. I just don't get it.
Well,
no,
you know
what it is? It's not that they're stupid. It's that we're stupid. We're stupid.
Yeah.
We vote.
Yeah.
Not you and I, but voters. And they know voters are stupid. So, and no offense to voters out there. If you're listening, you're not one of the stupid ones. But they know that voters are mostly low-information voters. The majority of people are low-information voters. And they can try to push a narrative that makes it seem like, oh, Bush and Clinton aren't so bad. Right.
Right. Because people in this country, they don't pay attention. They don't care. They're oblivious. They don't even know who the vice president is. You know, if you ever watch Jesse Waters go out and interview people on Fox, it's depressing. I mean, really. I'm thinking, are these people making this stuff up just so they can get on TV, or are they really this stupid?
They're really that stupid, Christy, unfortunately. People aren't paying attention. You know, most people don't know who Nancy Pelosi are, Harry Reid. They don't know who those people are. They don't know that those two people are two of the most disgusting, corrupt people in the entire country who have helped destroy this country. They have no idea. They have no idea. But if they're a Democrat and they saw a D next to either of their names and that's what they were going to vote for, they would vote for those people, even if they completely disagree with what they're doing. But because they're Democrats, they'll just vote for them, pull that lever. And the same goes for Republicans. I'm not just saying Democrats. Because we've talked about this before, and Republicans will do the same thing. They might disagree with this person, but because they have an R next to their name, they'll just vote for it. And that's what's got to stop in this country. We have to, we, the people, have to take back the government, because we're the ones who pay for these slobs to freaking work. We're the ones who pay for these people and direct these people to do their job. I just recently watched the series Firefly. I hadn't seen it before, and I just recently watched it. And it's a quote, great quote. It's a really, have you ever seen it?
I've heard of it, but I've never seen it.
Oh my God, you have to see it. You'll love it. And I don't watch TV, but I had libertarian friends who kept saying, "You got to watch this. You got to watch this," because they were writing quotes. So I finally, last Friday, I was so tired from the week, and I was just like basically sick of it all. 6:30 at night, I threw my hands up in the air, walked into the living room, and I said, "We're watching Firefly." I stayed up till 4 o'clock in the morning watching it. It's only a one season series, and then they have a movie which I just ordered. But one of the quotes in it was, "The people who those who govern are just people who aren't actually governed."
That's right.
Something like that. So
yeah,
we elect these people to govern and do our bidding, but no one's governing them.
Because
period.
The people that should be governing them are the citizens. Who are there to hold them accountable. And that's the way the whole system is supposed to work. But the citizens are completely oblivious, and the politicians have no respect for the citizens. So, you know, you've got this huge gap between the two. And, and consequently, the whole system is broken. And now Congress has been giving the ability to pass laws to these different agencies.
Yep.
I don't know if you saw that. Mike Lee wrote an article about that.
I briefly saw it, but I already knew that because I've written about it before, like the EPA. The EPA is completely, utterly out of control, and Congress has allowed it to happen. Congress has done not a goddamn thing to control the EPA, who are making outrageous laws. And it's going forward. It's just happening. Same with the ATF.
Right.
The same with the Department of Education.
The IRS.
The IRS. Yeah. So Congress is. I don't know what the hell they do in Congress. I really don't.
They don't do anything.
They get money from lobbyists. What the hell are they doing?
Well, you know, they certainly can't be expected to read the bills.
Oh my God, speaking of which, when is that witch coming? Nancy Pelosi's coming here.
Oh, wow. That's fun.
I might have to stage a little protest.
Please do.
You know, like, I protested Bill Clinton, Hillary Clinton. I think I might have to protest Nancy Pelosi because that would just be too much fun.
Can you dress up in a costume?
I can do whatever I want. I wonder if I can buy one of those online, Chrissy.
You got to dress up like a mental patient with a butterfly net.
Oh, God. I got to write down. It's May 7th, I think. Listen to me. I saw it yesterday because, of course, I get all my news from Twitter every month. I saw it yesterday and I posted it, and I said something about a protest, and other people in New Hampshire are like, "I'm down with that."
I heard Dennis Miller.
Who?
What? I heard Dennis Miller. Go ahead.
I was going to say, most people don't know who Nancy Pelosi is. And after this, they should.
Yeah, I wish I had that luxury.
I think it's done at night, too, so I can get more people that way.
But I heard Dennis Miller one time say, when he listens to Nancy Pelosi talk, it's like his head shakes so much that he could be mixing paint in his mouth.
Oh, my God. Oh God, that's bad. Yeah, it's I think people need to know who she is. I mean, most people don't know who she is, or they've heard of her but they don't know how bad she is. Of course, there's the Democrats who love her and think she's the greatest thing since sliced bread because she's so far left wing her face is going to fall off. But regular people don't. So
yeah.
Then I can write about it.
Oh yeah. And she represents San Francisco, so I mean it's no surprise that she is that far left wing, but what's really, you know, I mean the fact that she has such a position in the Democrat Party when she is that far left wing is the thing that's the most troubling.
Well, that tells you everything you need to know, and this is what people aren't paying attention to, because in New Hampshire, and it's probably like that in Georgia even, they like to claim they aren't that far left, but they are very, extremely far left. I mean, the head of the New Hampshire Democrat Party is the vice chair of the DNC, and he's a piece of shit just like Debbie Wasserman Schultz, what's her name, Schultz, whatever. He's lying sack, freaking extremist, far, as far left-wing as you can get. And people don't realize it. You have to point this stuff out. And you have to point it out to the regular, everyday people because they don't know it. And until you point it out to them, they're going to just say, no, he's not that bad, or she's not that bad. Well, really, you want to see their voting record, or you want to see the things they say? Yeah, they're
right.
That bad.
You have to be armed with facts, you know.
Oh,
because
absolutely.
the left-wing activists, they don't care about facts. They're just about pushing their agenda. But the rank-and-file Democrats who just vote that way because their family were Democrats, I have to believe that most of them, you know, they still want to know what's going on, the old-school Democrats.
Yep.
And if you present facts to them and give them a cause to think about it, that's where you're going to be able to turn people around.
Well, I've seen it happen with my in-laws. My in-laws always voted Democrat. They like Democrats. And I personally don't bring up politics. Typically when I'm around, you know, other people that aren't political.
Right.
But my husband does. He can't help himself. So, you know, when he brings it up, I'll talk about it too. But yeah, my in-laws can't stand Obama and Democrats now because over time, we have shown them the truth about them. Same with his sister, my sister-in-law, her husband's already on our side anyway, so whatever. But, so that's good. But yeah, people, if they don't know, they're just oblivious. And that's what both parties actually count on. Honestly, it's not just one. The Democrat Party is way worse about it. They will just blatantly throw stuff out there to see if it's, you know, throw stuff against the wall to see if it sticks, no matter how bad or how egregious of a lie it is. And people believe it. And then, of course, the news is on their side because the news doesn't report things truthfully or honestly. And there's no such thing anymore, at least mostly, as far as investigative reporting goes in the lamestream media that we all have to deal with. I don't deal with them because I don't watch TV. That's not the news I go to. I go to other news, but they're helping keep that cover over people's heads so that they don't peek out and find out the truth.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. Because I said before, my grandmother, she was a diehard Democrat. She voted Democrat all her life. She didn't vote for Mondale because she didn't like him. And she wouldn't vote for Reagan, so she just didn't vote that year. But if she was alive today to see what the Democrat Party has turned into with supporting gay marriage and, you know, attacking abortion up to the 9th month, and watching the Democrat National Convention boo God. I mean, my grandmother was a good Christian woman, even if she was a Democrat. But she wouldn't have put up with any of that. She probably wouldn't have voted Republican, but she just would have stopped voting. But she wouldn't recognize the Democrat Party today.
Most people wouldn't. And when Democrats who are what I call the JFK Democrats, which is what my in-laws were, when those people wake up and they're given a shred of the truth and you can point it out with evidence and they see what's really going on, they get pissed. They get pissed. When Obama was in Hawaii, we I forget, it must have been at Christmas time. And my mother-in-law was like, I hope he stays there. Now, this is a woman who doesn't say anything bad, ever. But, you know, this is how, and of course, then they feel they also feel the effects of Obamacare and stuff, even though they have pension. Excuse me, because my dad-in-law was actually a big union guy. Not, he wasn't a leader or anything, but he was in the union. But
right.
So they had it ingrained in them all their lives, Democrat, 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 and now they switched. And, you know, all you got to do is, to talk to reasonable people, is show them some facts and evidence and point them in the right direction, and they can choose that the right path or they can choose the wrong path still. It's up to them.
That's right. But an informed populace is the politician's biggest fear. I mean, because ignorance is what they count on. And when people start getting informed, that's when you see the statists in Washington shaking in their boots. But we go ahead.
It's not just Washington. It's local level, too. People freak out. They freak out when you point out the truth and why are these guys doing things behind back doors, and you get the right to know request and you report on it, and you know, people get pissed off. It's fabulous. It's so fabulous. They get so mad because who the hell do you think you are doing this to me while I'm trying to take care of my family and work my job and pay my taxes? Who the hell are you? And they get pissed and they get rid of them. It's great. I love it.
Yes, it's exactly what we all need to do. And the corruption is so deep in all the positions of power, but it's also a reflection of the citizenry. You know, it's almost like the people that are in power are mirroring what lack of moral compass the citizenry has now.
It is, but I think a lot of it has to do with people don't believe. Well, people always will say, oh, yeah, politicians, they all lie, right? Well, telling a white fib, telling a white lie, a little dumb fib, is one thing. But outright lying to your constituents about your voting record or about what a certain bill might do is completely different. And people don't see the difference because they don't really know the truth behind bills. And that's why so many activists try to get the truth out there, and politicians hate us because we do get it out there. And thank you, Lord Almighty Al Gore, for creating the interweb. We get it out there even faster than we could before.
Yep. It's all on Al Gore.
Yeah. Thank you, Man Bear Pig. Thank you, Man Bear Pig, for making it snow in April.
Yep. It's done well for him because he's gotten pretty fat lately.
Yeah, over $100 million fat.
Yeah, I think he's eaten that money too.
He has enough that he can.
Oh, he's got the biggest carbon footprint in Tennessee because, you know, all of these regulations that he supports over the rest of us, it doesn't apply to him because, you know, he's the high priest of the environmental cult, so, you know, he shouldn't be expected to follow the rules.
Oh, yeah. Like his house, I remember years ago, they said something about his house. The lights on in his house, because he has a big house, are the equivalent to like six other homes or something.
Yeah.
Because I don't think he turned his lights off during Earth Hour one year and people flipped out.
Yeah, I just can't stand people like that. You know, they don't care about the environment. I mean, come on, people, let's stop, cut through the bullshit and see this guy for what he is. He doesn't care about the environment. He didn't give a rat's ass about it, or he would hold himself to the same that he wants to hold everybody else to. It's only a matter of using the environment to increase government control over the population.
And increase his wealth at the same time.
Exactly.
Because that's what these, you know, I have done plenty of research on the global warming BS, right? And I wanted to know for sure if it was true because I happen to be, I call myself a tree hugger, but I'm not a tree hugger like those crazy people that want to marry a tree. I just like nature better than people. So,
right.
So I did a lot of research on it, and, you know, I'm sorry, but the science doesn't stick. And the reason that these global warming alarmists are doing what they're doing is because they wouldn't have jobs otherwise. That's what it is. That started years ago. Years ago this started. And these people would not have jobs. They would not be employed if they didn't have something to employ them. And that's why they made up this global warming bullshit so that all of us can pay for it and they actually still have a job.
Yeah. And the UN basically has admitted that the environmental movement and the global warming movement is just a matter of the vehicle to reform the global economy.
Right, to redistribute the wealth to other countries. Except the problem is they're not redistributing our wealth to help other countries in ways that they actually need it. They're redistributing our wealth to help countries that have starving children, solar panels or whatever. You know what I mean? It's not actually helping people.
Yeah. Well, now they're talking about that there needs to be population control. I saw that today on the internet, that the UN has taken up the cause that part of this whole climate change nonsense, you know, should involve population control, and we absolutely must do that.
Yeah.
But, you know, that means that's population control for the rest of us because they're going to get to live as long as they want to. But you're only going to get to live as long as you're useful and can generate some tax revenue.
Oh, well, it's not only that, but, you know, birth control and all kinds of stuff like that, they're going to make sure that happens. You know, they're going to make choices that Darwin usually makes, right?
Right.
They're playing God, and they're playing Darwin, and they're making choices that are actually man-made. That's the man-made problem.
Yeah, and, you know, they say history repeats itself. Well, it really does, because what you're seeing is all of the early 20th century progressives and eugenicists that were so prevalent 100 years ago have now come back. And they are in higher positions of power where they
actually
do something about it.
Exactly. And that's one of the problems. All those freak shows of the 70s who were against the man and, you know, like Bill Ayers and his hag wife, all those people who were killing people and blowing up buildings and they were against the man have now become the man.
Exactly. And, you know, that's why life can't matter to these people. Because if life starts to matter to these people, then there goes their whole plan.
Right. Right. No, exactly. So, I look at it every day, and I just think, and I see, I posted this on Facebook earlier, because certain mornings a week I write and I have to look up a couple of, you know, stories. I have to look up stories to write about, two stories I have to write about certain mornings every 4 days a week, whatever. So I look up all these stories and some of them, my mouth drops to the floor and I think that can't be real. And then of course I research it and verify it. Yeah, that's real. And holy crap, I can't believe people are this stupid. And it's not The Onion and it's not any of these satire sites. It's a real freaking news story. It's insanity. It's insanity what's going on in this country. It's insanity how disattached and not disengaged people are. Some people have just dropped out. They were engaged. They dropped out because they couldn't take it anymore because of the establishment policy. On both sides of the aisle, by the way, not just one or the other.
I agree.
They just said no. They just said screw it. I'm not dealing with it anymore. and we are where we're at. It's going to take decades for us to fix this huge mess.
Right. I think we're going to have to come to an absolute screeching halt as a country before most people get it.
Well, it's funny. Talking about something earlier with my husband, and we were talking and whatever, and I was talking about the presidential race, and he's like, I'm just going to have a good time until the shit hits. He's into politics, but he's not going into the political, he's not an activist, and he's not into going to all these political things. He's like, it's going to end. I'm just going to have a good time until it does.
And I can totally understand that point of view. I can understand people who were once engaged and just now have just dropped out because it's become such an oppressive existence. And what you see coming down the pike is like, well, what am I? If I focus on this all the time, I won't be able to enjoy my life. So I can understand that.
Well, he's a political junkie like I am. I mean, he'll be yelling down the hall to me when I'm in my office. He's like, did you hear about this? Or he'll come home and he'll say, did you hear about this? Today we were ranting back and forth. This happened and this happened. And oh, my God, that's why we ended up on that conversation. Because I'm like, oh, you should come meet this candidate or that candidate. He's like, yeah, no. He's like, I'm all set. He's like, he votes. He's obviously, he's intelligent. He knows what's going on. But he's like, you have fun with that. You do your thing. I don't want to be involved in any of that. But like him, that go way beyond that and just don't even bother with news anymore, don't even bother voting anymore, because he'll vote and he'll watch the news. You know what I mean? He knows what's going on, of course, because if he didn't, I'd be divorced. But think about those people who really have, they've just dropped out and they used to be good activists paying attention to what's going on, and they're just done. And it's going to get to that point to other people, too. Believe me.
Yeah.
There's been more than one time I've thought about not wasting my time doing this anymore.
Oh, I agree. There's a lot of people who are coming to that point because they feel like, well, there's nothing that I can do. We are too far gone to turn it around.
Yep.
And, there's nothing. I feel completely helpless. And so rather than dwell on it, they decide to just tune out and try and enjoy their life while they can. And I get it.
Yeah. No, and I get it too. And that's why it's always good when you have small victories. It's always good. For every one step you take, you're always going to be pushed 2 steps behind. But it's always good to have that victory, to know that you are making a difference. Because when you know you are making a difference, that keeps you going. That's the hope and change you can believe in.
That's right. And if you can affect your local area the most, then focus on your local area, your state, your city council, your board of education, wherever you feel like needs your attention, that's where you should put it.
No, exactly. And that's what I do now. I mostly do local, but obviously I'm interested in national and I write about national things. But yeah, that you have to focus on what you can do.
Right. So
we are officially off the air. We're still recording, but we're officially off the air because I didn't warn you and didn't pay attention to the clock. But once again, we went off on a tangent.
Well, that's always a good thing.
That's always a good, completely opposite, not opposite. It's always in the same line, but completely like, good Lord.
Right.
We don't go off the rails really because it's always politics, right?
We just dropped the occasional bad word.
We didn't say really bad words today, though. I'm pretty impressed. Oh, well. Okay, you did. Forget it.
I did. But I tried to say it quietly, so,
You see it, and most people probably didn't even get it, so you're good.
Good.
Good. I'm going to think about that all the time now. Oh, my God.
Well, I'm going to have to push that tag now. But Jeb Bush should just join the Clinton ticket, and then they can be Bush.
Right? Oh, God. Yeah, we can just, we can have fun with that. We can have mad fun with that.
Oh, we will.
I hope you cool down, and I hope you get an air conditioner guy that's like a cabana boy to come help you.
Yes, you know, not just some dirty redneck. That's usually the way it works. Some guy comes in, some redneck who tracks dirt on my carpet and puts a smug on my wall or something. Like, gee, thanks, dude. Are you going to discount me for that?
You're right. Great. Oh my God. All right. Well, thank you everyone for listening. Sorry we you know, went over a little bit again. But we will see you here again next week.
Amen for that.
Thanks, Christy. I'll talk to you soon.
All right, have a good night.
You too, bye.
Bye.